Welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast. We are so excited about what God is doing in North America among church planters, partnering churches, and field partners. We invite you to listen to some of North America's best practitioners in the field of church planting. Now get ready, because the conversation is about to begin.
Welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast, hosted by the North American Mission Board. Well, a dear friend has shown up today to spend some time with us on our church planting podcast, Mark Weibel, who is the director of the Church Planting Center at the Greater Orlando Baptist Association, is here with us. And Mark, welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast.
Great, Tom. Thanks. It's good to be here with you. It's glad you're here in Orlando, in my neck of the woods.
I am glad to be in your neck of the woods, my friend. I'm enjoying our time here. We have had some just a great few days and doing some display work and booth work and also just getting with church planters and those that are leading church planting causes. So it's been a really good time for us here. Well, Mark, every time I get with you, I learn something. And today, you and I want to talk about a kind of a give and take on something that is probably a harder issue for some church planters. It may be one they don't even want to hear the title of it, but the title of our podcast today is Planting Churches with Little or No Money. And, you know, a lot of planters say, show me the money. now we're going to show them no money. But talk with us a little bit about what you're finding as we talk about retooling, maybe some of our philosophies, but also ultimately some of our just our thinking. And maybe, you know, we've been an attractional model for well over 30 years now, and God might be up to something totally different. So let's talk a few minutes about planting churches with no money. Right out of the chute, Mark, what would you say?
Well, you know, for years we have studied resources like Charles Brock's Indigenous Church Planting. We've read the material from International Mission Board on church planting movements. We've heard about exponential church multiplication happening in certain parts of the world, and we have heard of it, and missiologically we understand the strategies of the necessity in some places to start churches when you don't have a lot of resources. Now we've found ourselves here in Central Florida and in many parts of the United States.
I was going to say, don't just say Central Florida, but anyway, yep.
Yeah, with a very tough economy. I mean, when we were riding high here, we were on top of it. I mean, mm-hmm. we were seeing a growth rate of 20 to 30,000 new homes being built here every year,
which is amazing,
and all that has just come to a stop. We're now at, you know, unemployment rate above 12%. Everybody knows somebody who's out of a job or homes in foreclosure. It's just been really tough. This is a very tough environment to raise money. Mm. We you know, it seems like around here, if you're on a church staff and you don't have senior in front of your title, then your position is up for layoff. You know, many churches laying off staff.
Yeah, and it's not just in your land, my friend. You know, it's happening. You know, I mean, where I live, you know, there's some of that happening. The example you're choosing and stuff, because, you know, it has been pretty, pretty hard. Well, you know, we always said that the vision you write should be the vision that you underwrite. And yet a lot of times our visions have been underwritten by other people. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about what are some principles when you think about planting churches with no money. What are some things that you would tell our planters today?
You know, the first question a church planter asks then is, how do I get paid?
And, and, you know, his spouse probably wants to know that too, which is
right.
Fair.
Right. So we are basically retooling and say, well, no, the marketplace is a great mission field. So
yeah. I worked out in construction early in my ministry as a bivocational church planter. Yep.
Oh, yeah, and it's, you know, and as you know from that experience, it's a great place to build relationships.
Because
church planters are usually asking two questions. One is how do we connect with people? And number two, how am I going to get paid? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a three-letter word answers both of those, and it's J-O-B, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's not mm-hmm. such a bad thing.
Or maybe a five-letter, F-A-I-T-H.
Yeah, there you go.
I can do it too, Mark.
That's right. So, but it's and you know, and there's a great movement afoot. There are networks like the Businesses Mission Network that are basically equipping people to see that the marketplace is an incredible place to build connections, develop relationships, And then simply just changing our expectations of when we're talking about church planting, where the attractional model worked really well in a broadcast type of culture.
Mm-hmm.
It was just simply about getting the message out to as many people as possible. And if the numbers were high enough, a certain number of people would respond, and you would see that type of response, people showing up on a Sunday.
As you know, a dear friend of yours and mine, Hal Holler, who's got the distinction of the single largest one-day launch in Florida Baptist Convention's history, I think it was 396, 398 or something like mm-hmm. that. We were doing a podcast earlier this week, and we were talking about how launching large, which was, I was running all over the country in 1997 through about 2005 teaching this and couldn't, my calendar was so full I had to turn conventions away on this. Now what we're seeing now, really 5 years later after 2005, that may be a strategy that has come and gone for the time being, and needs to be a retrofit, a retooling, as you said, with the planners, because the day in most areas of launching large is wearing out. And part of that is because of just the economics we're in, but donor weary. You know, it's really hard for a donor, Mark, who is supporting your cause, your vision, to give toward a brand new church plant, and 3 to 4 years later, you're going to up and go, and they may do it for a couple times, maybe even do it for a third time. But after a while, it wears them out because, you know, basically what they're saying is, you know, every time we turn around, you're launching a new church, and that's great for the kingdom, but I'm getting donor weary. They probably wouldn't word it that day, but it just wears them out because they're praying and giving and faithful, and, you know, when does that change? And so even one who's been a great student of mine has and done a great job in launching large is having to learn how to retool a little.
That's right, and you have the issues of donor weary. You have churches that used to be big time supporters of church planting just simply do not have the cash to do that, and trying to maintain what they have going on while trying to be missional at the same time and trying to expand their reach as well. So the bottom line is, so to speak, we have to ask ourselves: can we do this without money? Money was not a huge issue in the New Testament. When Paul did address money, it was usually in relation to some type of special project, such as helping the brothers back in Jerusalem. But it wasn't so much about the ongoing effects of the church. And in Corinthians, when he dealt with money, he basically said, "Look, you know, I had the right to be paid by you, but I chose not to because I didn't want that to be an issue. So I made tents instead." And that's really where we are. We don't want to plant fewer churches simply because the money's not there. Because I don't think that God's going to just say, "Yeah, you're right. There's not enough money. Let's quit planting churches."
And God may show us. And I think this is a great day for us, as for example, Southern Baptist Convention, but for other denominations as well. This is a great day for us to really see that are we really faithful in what man can do, or are we really open to some supernatural blessings of what God can do? And I think God's going to teach us whether all this economic downturn is for a few years or 5 years or whatever it is. God's word will not be returned void. And I think God wants to plant churches, and he may want to keep, you know, even think about Southern Baptist. I owe my heart and my life to Southern Baptist Convention for all it's done for me as a young minister, a young church planter, couldn't afford to go to college or seminary, and yet God provided a way through a proper program to do that. But it might be that God's going to show us all how we can plant churches that it isn't as costly. And wouldn't that be amazing if we could plant more with less, and God might be up to showing all of us something that we never, you know, it'll be his glory, to his glory if it happens, and I think it will.
Yeah, planting more with less and seeing a greater harvest.
Yeah.
Because the emphasis of moving away from a professional clergy to pastors who really take Ephesians 4:12 seriously and see that their role is to train up and equip others.
Mm-hmm.
I was meeting with a new church planter a couple of days ago.
Oh, you're always meeting with them, brother. You know, but anyway, go ahead.
And we were talking about, for example, marketing resources. You had to have a huge marketing budget
mm-hmm.
for postcards and billboards and TV ads or whatever you're going to do. Now it's Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Neither of those cost anything,
which I love.
And actually, in many ways, are more effective because we're no longer in a broadcast culture; we're in a digital interactive culture, and we have the opportunity to actually build relationships with people before we actually meet with them face to face. So, talking with a guy about doing some of these things, and he just threw his hands up in the air. He said, "I don't have time to do all of this." And I was just looking at his church, what do we call that from basic training?
His report, the
church system design.
What he has on the wall from basic training.
He just went through basic training. He had a church system design, but there was
basic
nothing on there for leadership development. Mm-hmm. And I pointed out, I said, this is why you don't have time
because you're not
developing leaders. And I said, anything you don't have time for, you need to develop a leader to do that. And there are people, the great thing is that you don't have to train somebody how to use Facebook. They're already using it.
Give the ministry away. You know?
So we just simply are coaching people on using social networking tools that are already there. So you're reducing an overhead expense there and doing something that's more effective, something that people are already involved in that they're already doing. It's just an example of how we do this without money. Another one is creatively finding ways to use facilities where you don't have to pay rent.
And
it used to be, we would see a great place that we'd like to meet. We'd go to them and say, how much are you going to charge us? We'd pay the money. Now we go into them and say, how can we partner with you? How can we be in a mutually beneficial relationship that where we can bless you in return? And some of these organizations we're finding are just simply saying, you know what, we're going to quit charging you rent because you are such a great value to us. So.
Well, and even schools sometimes, though I think they'll still probably charge, there are schools and middle schools and elementary schools and high schools that are learning that it's a great benefit. It's a give and give back type situation with church plants. But think about, for example, of sharing your church property, how that could start a new church. I mean, there are a lot of churches that sit dormant on Saturday night.
Right.
Saturday afternoon. There are a lot of churches that sit dormant even on Sunday afternoon. I know within one of the churches that we used to attend in Cumming, Georgia, that they have a church within a church, and there's a vibrant the Hispanic ministry is just rocking and rolling, and it's how one initial action of sharing that church has allowed that church to grow. Finances still aren't great for that young ministry, but yet people are coming, and it's running 60, 65, 70, and God's using the blessing of the mother church to be a blessing to the new church, and new church being a blessing to them. So that's another one.
And that's a great testimony of good stewardship, whether it be another church's facility or another building in the community. One of the things that the community is being very conscious of here in Orange County, Florida, people who've been here a long time remember a day when they could go drive out not so far, and they could go to a beautiful spring area, sit among the trees, have a picnic, and now that's a neighborhood.
I don't remember that. I grew up here.
But the natural resources, because of those 30 to 40,000 homes that were being constructed every year, the natural resources are being eaten up. So Orange County, along with six other counties in the Central Florida area, have adopted what's called a smart growth philosophy. And part of that means urban infill. It means more high rises. It means more densely populated areas, but using existing infrastructure. And I was meeting with the chief urban planner with Orange County about a year ago, and we were looking at the plans they had for a new community. And I'd asked him, they had everything planned out. And I asked him where they had places planned out for churches, and they didn't. It wasn't even on the radar.
No, because there was a time in days past where you build a community where you take over a significant amount of acreage. There usually was a portion of that that would be given toward the planning of toward a property that a church could buy, or sometimes even in places, I don't know about Florida, but even like in the Northeast, they would give that property, to a church because they saw the need, the importance of having a church to minister to the families in the neighborhoods.
Yeah, and that is not a part of the equation now.
No, it's day gone by, brother.
Not really so much because of any kind of intentional rejection of the church.
No, I don't think so.
Just simply not seeing that the church is that important in the community. And also now with these communities being every square inch of land is spoken for, And some of these, you can't even come in and buy property to put a church on it,
no.
because it's not available. And so what we have to look at is multi-usage of facilities, which fits right into that smart
yeah.
growth.
Well, clubhouses, for example.
Yeah.
A dear friend of yours and mine started a church in a clubhouse and in the schools,
yeah.
even in theaters. You know, we've done a it's amazing how God is blessing all across North America with churches that are using the theaters.
Well, and even if you look at the planning of some of these areas, one of the things they're concerned about is how much land is being used up, how much runoff is being created mm-hmm. by building space and parking lots. And if you can come in and say, hey, we don't want to purchase any land, we don't want to take up any more space, we don't want to create any more runoff, we want to use an existing building, then that fits right in with the green consciousness of the culture.
Yeah.
And the church needs to be speaking to that.
Even Walmart's going green, brother. So,
yeah.
You're
yeah.
Right.
We need to be speaking to that. We need to understand that that's where the culture is. So we can come in and say we can practice good financial stewardship. We can speak the language of the culture and saying we're going to be so green, we're not even going to have our own building. We're going to use existing facilities, and we're going to meet people where they are. You mentioned schools. Schools need to be looked at more than just a place to rent a building, but a people to partner with.
Yeah.
And
we've seen some of that here in the Orlando area, you know, with some of the guys you work with and stuff. So that's been a good example. Well, you know, we keep talking about planting churches with no money. Obviously, there are churches that meet in homes, you know.
Yeah.
There are churches that meet on another church's property. If you get the right relationship, there are churches that have a relationship with some type of school system that is working for them. What are some other things, though, as we think about the church planner, where before it was, how much am I going to get paid and, you know, and all that. What are some advice? What are some things you're learning in this area, Mark?
Well, one of the things is helping the church planner to realize that even though you've spent the early part of your life going to Bible college and seminary, and maybe pastoring a church somewhere, and all of a sudden they're looking at, now you're telling me I need a job. I don't have any marketable skills. Many times they're selling themselves short.
Yeah.
Especially if they planted a church before. You are an entrepreneurial person. You are a leader of a nonprofit organization, which everyone knows is the most difficult type of organization mm-hmm. to lead. And you've done incredible things. You've started things from scratch. Many of these guys would immediately look for some type of entry level minimum wage type of job, and I'm trying to encourage them. Look, you go to you need to go to some higher level employment that provides a good income for you, some good benefits for you and your family, that gives you flexible hours, and go in there and sell yourself sell your skills. Say, hey, you know, for the past 5 years, this is what I've been doing. I've been leading people who could walk away at any moment. I've started an organization from scratch. I've enlisted people to be involved in that and to donate to that. So you have all of these skills. You have these organizational skills. You have these selling skills. You have these motivational skills. And you don't have to know anything about the product or service that business provides. They'll train you on that.
Yes, they will.
They just want your raw skills. And so helping these guys
and
to see
talent,
You have a marketable skill, that the business, the place you go to work is a mission field. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you're passing out gospel tracts on company time, but it may mean you get to know people so well that they can't help but wanting to come over and have dinner with you and your wife after
yeah,
work.
Yeah, or they want to go to lunch with you and ask you, why are you different, you know,
right,
type thing.
Right.
So, well, Mark, some very good ideas. Is there any closing thought you would say? I got to say this before, before we close on the subject of retooling and planting churches with no money. Anything else that comes to your mind?
Well, you know, I've got to say this, that our vision is one day that Orlando will be known more for Jesus than Mickey.
Yep.
And we firmly believe in that vision. We believe that it can happen. And that is a vision that we're presenting that is helping us to enlist
mm-hmm.
people, because it is something concrete that they can wrap their mind around.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
This being a service-oriented economy, we see a day that people visiting Orlando, these 50 million plus that visit here every year, will come to Orlando knowing that they're going to get the best service that they're going to get anywhere, because followers of Jesus Christ are willing to even wash your feet.
Amen. Amen. Well, people will want to connect with you, brother. They always do. How can they connect with you?
Well, you can visit our website, OrlandoChurchPlanting.com, And you'll see a contact us form there. You can fill that out, or you can shoot me an email, churchplanting@goba.org.
Say that again, would you?
Churchplanting@goba.org. That stands for Greater Orlando Baptist Association.
All right. Well, Mark, it's always a pleasure to hang out with you, my friend, and miss getting together very often. It seems like maybe once a year. This year we've been lucky, maybe twice. But I just want to pray God's blessings on you, and thanks for being part of our podcast today.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Well, friends, be sure to come back next week, because you never know what God may have in store to teach you. And as always, visit thechurchplantingvillage.net for all of your church planting needs. Planting the seed of God's love in North America and beyond, this is your Church Planting Group podcast.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of the Church Planting Group podcast. By subscribing to this podcast, you've already taken some great steps to being trained and equipped for God's work of church planting. Also, be sure to check out churchplantingvillage.net for more resources and information on church planting, partnering churches, and field partners. Plus, the latest edition of the Church Planting Group podcast. Reaching America, Canada, and beyond, this is your Church Planting Group podcast.